And thank you for the stall. It's a swivelly stall, so if I suddenly twist around and face the back, it's the stall, not me. So apologies. Anyway, it's great to be here with you again this morning. And I just want to start this morning by saying a very big thank you, really, to all of you who have been praying for Bev and I in recent times. It's been a really tough couple of months, really. For those of you that don't know, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer at the beginning of November, and I had some major surgery in December. And that was good, that was successful. They said that they'd got the tumour out and so on. But I've had quite a few complications in the meantime. And so I had to go back into hospital on Christmas Day because I'd got an infection. Then I had to go back in for 8 days on the 17th of January for a further infection. So it's been a really tough time. And on top of that, Bev's mum's had a couple of falls. And she dislocated her shoulder in one and broke her hip in the other, just 2 weeks apart. So the road leading up to our house really has become known as Ambulance Alley. So we've had about four ambulances in the time. Goodness knows what the neighbours think, but anyway. I really wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you for praying for us, because it has made a huge difference to us, not only for your prayers, but for your love and concern as well. And I just wanted to start by saying something slightly different. In the last few years of my working life, I was the director of the National Cancer Action Team. And that team had responsibility for ensuring that we were driving up the quality of services and the way that they were delivered across the country, so that people were achieving the same kind of quality, hopefully a good quality of service. But the second thing, importantly, was to try and ensure that people had their cancers diagnosed early. Because the earlier a cancer is diagnosed, the more effective the treatment is, and the more opportunity there is for a good outcome from that treatment. So it's vital that people have a cancer, if they have one, diagnosed early. So what I wanted to say as a plea to you this morning is, if you get an invite to go to a breast screening program or a bowel screening program, please, please, please go, because it's vital that these diagnoses are made early. And in both Bev's case, 3 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer as a result of a screening service, and I've been diagnosed with bowel cancer as a result of a screening service, and both of our outcomes are good, are positive, and that's because we went early. So please, if you do get an invite, you must go. Anyway, that's the end of the government health warning. The second thing I wanted to say, though, is to stress how important it is that we pray for each other. And as someone who has benefited from your prayers in recent months, I just wanted to say what a source of peace and encouragement comes from knowing that you are praying for me and that you're praying for us. Because we read, don't we, that when we cry out to the Lord, he hears us and he answers. And in his book, The Normal Christian Church Life, Watchman Nee says that Scripture shows us that dependence on God does not render us independent of each other. The fact that we are dependent on God, that we need him every hour in our lives, doesn't mean that we can say, well, I don't need you then, thanks very much, because I've got God. We still are dependent on each other. We need God every day in every aspect of our lives, but we also need each other. And it's not just praying for each other, encouraging each other is a nice thing to do, is a good thing to do. It's absolutely vital for our health as a fellowship here that we pray for each other and that we pray unceasingly. And it's in that way that we will continue to grow as a family as we look to live and work together here. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a really difficult time in your life, when you're facing some difficult challenges, you don't know how to pray, do you? Or you don't really know what to pray for. And it may be that God even seems distant for a period of time. And it's then that the prayers of your brothers and sisters are so important. That it's such an important part for us to play as members of God's family, to pray for each other. The beds in Penbury, I don't know if you've ever been into Penbury Hospital, or Tunbridge Wells Hospital, they're all single rooms, which is great in a way, because you can watch what you want on television. You've got your own toilet, which is a real plus. But the downside is you don't see anybody. And it's a very lonely, sort of isolating experience. And at the moment, only one person can visit, and then only for an hour. So it's really, the days are extremely long. The doctor came in at 8:15 every morning, and I didn't see him again till the next morning. And so it was fantastic that on Thursday afternoon when I was there, the door opened, and a lady wearing a dog collar said, I'm the part-time hospital chaplain, can I come and have a chat? And I said, yes, you can, please come in. And we had a great time together. She told me she was the curate of St Michael's Church in Tunbridge Wells, and I told her that I was a member of Cranbrook Congregational Church. That seemed to go down all right. She didn't seem upset by that. And just to have someone from your same family, from God's family, that you were able to talk to and share with. And then she said at the end, is it all right if I pray for you? And I'll tell you, my week changed at that point, really, from being fairly down to really having my spirits lifted just by knowing there was someone who I'd only met half an hour before and who prayed for me and prayed for me in a really beautiful way. And so that was a real encouragement to me about how important it is that we pray for each other. How on earth do people cope with the challenges and trials of life if they don't have the privilege of being part of God's family? How on earth do they cope if they don't know that presence of God in their lives, if they don't know the fact that they've got that positive support? Just as an aside, I'm about to start a 6-month course of chemotherapy, and so I'd really value your continuing prayers for the next period of time. But this morning, I just want to share with you some of the things that God has been teaching me over the recent weeks. And I want to stress the fact that he's still teaching me, and there's lots of stuff that he's showing me at the moment that I'm still having to learn. And in that psalm that Jess read to us about, show me your ways, teach me your ways, O Lord, that is still a cry from my heart that he teaches me. So I want to stress that I haven't got all the answers, but I hope that some of the questions that are being posed in my mind will be helpful to you. So it's inevitable, isn't it, that at different times of our lives, we will face different challenges and trials. And those trials may be many and varied. They may be about illness, they may be financial troubles, they may be disasters, they may be family problems, the breakdown in relationships, the death of loved ones. And in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren says this: God can bring good out of the worst evil. He did that at Calvary. God's purpose for us is greater than our problems and our pain. His purpose for you and me is that we should become like his son. Everything God allows to happen in my life is permitted for that purpose. And the phrase I just wanted to pick up on that, in that, is this phrase, everything that God allows to happen. God has allowed cancer for me in my life for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is, but God has not given me the cancer. God has not given me cancer as some form of punishment. And one of the questions that Bev and I talked about some weeks ago when, you know, Hazel was suffering and I had all these problems, why is God doing this to us? Why is God punishing us? I want to tell you this morning that whatever trial you may be facing now or in the future, it is not the result of a punishment from God. God does not punish us. The punishment for our wrongdoing has already been borne by Jesus on the cross. He's taken our punishment. So God does not punish us. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul writes, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Rick Warren again says, God uses problems to draw you closer to himself. Problems force us to look to God and to depend on him instead of on ourselves. Troubles force us to look to God, to depend on him instead of on ourselves. And I just want to spend a moment looking at what Jeremiah said in Lamentations, chapter 3. Jeremiah is sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet. And it says this, I'm the man who's seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He's made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He's besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He's walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He's barred my way with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. He dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He's broken my teeth with gravel and he's trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendour is gone and all that I hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness in the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. What a terrible set of verses that is. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. Just weeping, just reading it is enough to make you weep. He was a man who'd seen affliction. He'd been made to walk in darkness. His skin and his flesh had grown old, and he'd suffered from broken bones. He'd been surrounded by bitterness and hardship. He's been weighed down with chains. His paths have been made crooked. He's become a laughingstock, deprived of peace. He's forgotten what prosperity is, and his soul is downcast within him. Do you recognise any of those things, even to a slight degree? Maybe not a combination of things that Jeremiah writes about, but have you ever felt that you're stumbling around in darkness? You're not really quite sure which way to go. Are you conscious of your body aging and all the trials that that brings, the various illnesses that you suffer from? Do you sometimes feel weighed down by the pressures and challenges of life, by people's expectations of you? Do you feel deprived of peace? And does your soul sometimes feel downcast? Well, what was Jeremiah's reaction to all those things? We're going on in that chapter. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We've sung about that, haven't we, already this morning, and Lorna prayed about it. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The new RSV version says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And in the Message, it says, but there is one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. That small but significant word, but I call this to mind. There's one thing I remember. In all the challenges and trials that may come my way, there is one thing I remember, and therefore I have hope. Despite all the problems that Jeremiah was facing, despite the abuse that he suffered, despite the disappointments he experienced, despite his failures, despite all the trials and tribulations he faced, there was something he remembered, and that remembrance gave him hope. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So what was it that he remembered? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His great love, he remembered that. For his compassions never fail. He remembered how compassionate his God was. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah had hope because of the Lord's great love. And in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, it says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jeremiah remembered God's enduring, never-ending love. And it was being reminded of that love that gave him hope. Jeremiah remembered God's compassion and his mercy, which he said never fails. We should be remembering that as well. Think about the times in the past where he has been compassionate towards each one of you, when I've known his compassion and his mercy. Our salvation and all the gifts and the blessings that we receive from God are out of the goodness of his heart. They're not things that we're entitled to. They're not things we've earned. They're not things we deserve, but they're because of his mercies towards each one of us. It's because of his mercy that we are not consumed. We may face hard times in our lives, but it's due to the mercy of God that those hard times aren't worse. In Micah 7, he said, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnants of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." So Jeremiah was reminded of the Lord's great love, his mercies and his compassion and his faithfulness. In Joshua 23, it says, "Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Isn't that fantastic? When we think of all the promises, and there are so many promises in God's word, all the promises, not one has failed. He has kept all of his promises. When you and I are faced with difficult times, with all kinds of trials, what do we base our hope on? Is it one based on positive thinking? A lot of people have said to me, members of my family and other people have said, keep positive, be positive, think positive. So is my hope based on positive thinking? Is my hope based on wishful thinking? Or is my hope based on being a natural optimist? I think that if you don't know God as your Heavenly Father, if you don't know you don't know Jesus as your Redeemer, then perhaps that's all you've got. Positive thinking, wishful thinking, being an optimist. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When you're struggling, when life seems tough, when you're unsure as to which way things are going to happen, why things are going wrong, life's taken a turn that you hadn't expected, then remember the things that God has done for you. Remember the blessings that you've received from him. Remember his mercies and his compassion towards you. Keep your eyes fixed upon him. I know, and many of you, I'm sure, know about Corrie ten Boom, who suffered in a Nazi death camp. And on one occasion, she said this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Remember that your pain is temporary, but your reward will be eternal. 1 Timothy 4. We work and struggle for this. Our hope is set on a living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially those who believe. Our hope is based on God, a living God, a God who's present here and now to give hope to all who believe and who call on him. Just one other thing I wanted to share with you. When I was in hospital for the second time, so I was in for 8 days, and I say the days seemed endless, and I was feeling pretty down and fairly sorry for myself. I was in quite a lot of pain from a drain that had been fitted, and as I say, I was feeling quite isolated. And I found at times it really difficult to pray. And to be honest, my prayers were mostly based around self-pity. And it was only after the visit from the hospital chaplain that I referred to that I decided to listen to an album of Stuart Townend worship songs. And on listening to those, my spirit was really lifted, because my focus shifted from being all about me to thinking about God and to praising God and to worshipping him. And just a couple of the songs that really struck me. One is, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King, so I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him." And then one other was, "O my soul, arise and bless your Maker. When I wake, I know that he's with me. When I'm weak, I know that he is strong. Though I fall, his arm is there to lean on, safe on the rock of Jesus. And I will sing for all my days of heaven's love come down. Every breath I take will speak his praise until he calls me home. Stir in me the songs that you are singing. Fill my gaze with things as yet unseen. Give me faith to move in works of power, making me more like Jesus." And I've heard before this, this thought that when we're feeling down, we should raise our eyes towards Jesus, and we should turn to worship and praise, because that worship and praise is not based on emotion. It's not based on our situation. It's based on who God is and what he's done for us. And I just read this about the benefits of praising God in hard times. When you stop worrying and trying to fix it all on your own, you allow the space for God to step in, give the glory to God, and praise his power and thankfulness, or faithfulness. Another benefit of praising: when your heart turns to God, trusting him and praising his great name, you'll find his peace, which passes all understanding. When the trials of this life leave you worn out and weary, singing God's praises will fill your heart with joy. Lift up your heart to God and allow him to refresh and renew your spirit. Praise is not only a command, but a gift we give to God. It's a sacrifice of our heart, giving him our best, even when we don't feel up to it. When you turn your heart to praising God, those problems begin to shrink. As your eyes focus on God, you'll find a new perspective on your trials. As the song says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Praising God will open your eyes to see all the ways God is at work in your life. You'll see the blessings he's given you outside of those trials, and you'll see how he's at work in your battles. Set your eyes upon him, and you'll see him more clearly. And finally, when troubles begin to surround you, look for ways to focus your thoughts and actions on praise and thanksgiving. Allow God to work his wonders through your testimony of praise through the storm. Final quote from Rick Warren, where he says, remember what God has already done for you. If God never did anything else for you, he would still deserve your continual praise for the rest of your life because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. If God never did anything else for you, he would still deserve your continual praise for the rest of your life because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Dear Lord, we just pray that you will help us to remember all that we have received from you, all the blessings that we've received from you. We just thank you when we think back over our lives of the way in which you have demonstrated your love towards us, for the times when you have shown your compassion towards us, when you've shown your mercy and your grace, when we've done things that we shouldn't have done, that don't deserve your love, but you still love us, you keep on loving us. And we just thank you for that unfailing, enduring love, because it's in that that we have hope. And so we thank you that whatever life may throw at us, whatever challenges and trials we may face, we just pray that if we keep our eyes fixed upon you, if we set you before us always, then you're there to help us, to strengthen us. You're there to guide us. You're there to comfort and encourage us. And we just thank you that through those trials and challenges, we may grow to learn more and more about you, that we may grow to be more and more like you. And so we just thank you for that promise and that assurance that we receive from you. And we do again pray that we might be faithful in praying for each other. Even though we may not be aware of particular challenges that an individual might be facing, we just pray that that won't stop us praying for each other. Because it's as we do that, as we pray for each other, we will grow closer to each other. But we'll grow closer to you as well. And so we just thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.